Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now 50-Year Predictions Part 2. Our guest is Matt Novak, who writes about how people in the past saw the future in his column called Paleo Future for Gizmodo. Matt, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me again.
And listeners, you can actually call in now with your predictions for 2064. Have you been thinking about this since we brought it up yesterday or since you've been reading some of the Isaac Asimov stuff? Matt is going to help me field your predictions for 50 years from now. If you fancy yourself a futurist, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. If you were listening yesterday, you heard us talk about the predictions that the science fiction writer and biochemistry professor Isaac Asimov famously made for 2014, this year, 50 years ago, back in 1964. For example, he predicted a 2014 with self-driving cars. We actually have that. And an iPad-like device, also kind of a Skype-like communications technology. But while some people think he was a visionary, some also think he was quite conservative for his time. In any case, we're moving on to part two and taking your predictions now for 2064. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Matt, is there a point to all this, now that we're doing it for 2 days in a row, other than fun and an intellectual exercise? Can it help make the world a better place in any way by even musing about what the future might be like 50 years hence?
Certainly. I think that when we look at past visions of the future, we learn a lot about what people's greatest hopes and darkest fears were. So I think that in thinking about the future, we're not only trying to plot our own course, but sort of do a bit of self-exploration in what drives us.
And you said yesterday, reflecting on Asimov and the context of his predictions, that often people's predictions for the future tend to be optimistic when the economy is good and pessimistic when it's bad. So what would you predict that the predictions would be based on where we stand now in this crazy quilt recovery?
I think that – and I don't want to speak for an entire generation, get in a lot of trouble for that. But I think that a lot of people will be – generally pessimistic. I think that I don't know a lot of optimists today, and I think that there are a lot of people concerned about the direction that we're heading, whether that's technologically. You know, a lot of people are concerned about, quite frankly, the robot uprising. You see, whether it's on the fields of battle and drones, or whether you see certain automation in jobs. I think a lot of people have a lot that they're concerned about when it comes to robots. And then you look at sort of the social aspects. You look at the other aspects of culture, such as, Uber being a great example. Are we all going to be independent contractors in the future? What else will be automated? You see, UberX allows you to, rather than call a cab, call up anyone who happens to have a car nearby you that supposedly Uber has screened, and they take you from place to place.
Something that you're willing to pay.
Right. So, but those people act as independent contractors. They haven't bought their taxi medallions. They haven't bought, purchased all of this overhead that is included in the regulation of a civilized society. So,
but is that a dystopian vision? I mean, the taxi medallion system is a racket. It's the last thing I thought we'd be talking about in this segment.
Well, I think that I think people, whether you like Uber or not, you have to sort of confront, well, is my industry going to be the one that where I become an independent contractor? For example, real estate agents and travel agents are a better example. Travel agents don't really exist as a dominant industry anymore because everyone can book their own travel. And that is great for consumers, but it's terrible for travel agents. Mm-hmm. So I think when you see other, for lack of a better word, this buzzword disruption that has really permeated the internet lexicon in the last few years.
From technology. Yeah. I think Tony in Fort Lee has one kind of like that. Tony, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yes. Good morning, Brian and our guest. And yes, I am from that Fort Lee. And so I predict...
Your access lanes to this show will always be open.
Roger that. And by the way, I'm a sustainer. I want to encourage all listeners right now to sustain WNYC, even if you just spend $5, whatever you can do.
Anyway, thanks a lot.
Anyways, look,
but we can wait till the next pledge drive. Go ahead. Yes.
Avatars. You will not be able to distinguish on the big screen a human from an avatar. And the motion picture, a big screen movie actors will be out of work, and then there'll be a resurgence in live plays and theater all across the country.
Uh-huh.
People will want to see humans.
So there's a happy ending at the end. Because after they stop,
no pun intended,
after a silver lining playbook, that after they stop hiring actors to be in the movies because they can get away with not, that there'll be a resurgence of live theater.
Correct, because why would you want to work with a human when you can just do an avatar? They'll do exactly what you tell them. You can't tell from the television if it's a human or not. Bada boom, bada bing. And now people want to see real humans every so often, so they go, and a resurgence of Broadway.
Thank you very much. I think they've already tried to do that with recorded music on Broadway instead of musicians. But David in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Yes, hi. Being born in Soviet Union and claiming to be a small expert on totalitarian society, I envision the new totalitarian society where at birth children will be implanted with a little chip and all humans will be controlled from one center. Plus, the television and media will be delivered directly to the head. So you can envision a person screaming sometime, "It's too loud, too loud."
David, thank you. I love it. And really, leave it to Soviet expat Matt to come up with the most direct, most bleak vision of the future.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Of government control. Some kind of top-down control. All right, Ken in Manhattan, 50 years from now, what?
50 years from now, basically I see artificial intelligence and robotics coming together in a way that we can't even envision now. I see them being friends. I see them being companions. Anything from security, they're just going to be all around us, and we're going to have to deal with it. We're going to even embrace it in many respects. I'm a big fan of Isaac Asimov, and if you ever read any of his robot series stuff, you could see where he envisioned artificial intelligence and robotics coming together. So that's what I see. I see in the future that we'll have little companions. We'll be dressing them up to have their own attire. We'll give them names, and basically they'll it'll change the relationship that we have with other people, with humans, actually.
Ken, thank you very much. Do you think it's better to look to actual creative science fiction output, whether it's from Asimov 50 years ago or people writing today or making movies today or whatever, rather than to lists of predictions?
Well, I think that a lot of the most interesting predictions come from average people rather than necessarily experts, quote-unquote, in futurism. I think that actually, that's why I think this program is great today, just to hear what people have to say, because, you know, I love reading kids' letters from the future in the 20th century. Mm. You know, kids' letters from the 50s to the future versus the 70s are completely different.
Wow.
Ideas. There's still that same sort of optimism, mm-hmm. That's sort of inherent in being a kid, but you can totally see the economy, you can see all sorts of different things influencing how these kids thought about the future. And I think you're going to see the same sorts
all right.
of things today.
Then let's get as many more people as we can on in the remaining time. Kurt in Hillsdale, your prediction for 50 years hence?
I'm optimistic about robots. I believe Asimov was right. And I think if you look in real life at the example now of aging populations in Japan and whatnot, you'll see that one of the first things they're learning is how to work with people. And as they become more intelligent, I think part of greater robotic intelligence will be learning things like empathy. And then my other big hope for the next 50 years is things like what's going on with the space cluster in the Mojave Desert and space infrastructure.
Kurt, thank you very much. Senya in Piermont, you're on WNYC. Senya, 50 years hence?
I think there's going to be a very widening gap between what technologies different social and economic classes can afford, because everybody talks about a smartphone takeover or whatever, but I don't think that's really going to happen on like a massive scale.
Thank you. Tom in Manhattan, 50 years from now.
50 years. Hi, Brian. Thank you for having me on. I'm not sure in 50 years, but I think eventually people will become pets of JavaScript.
Pets of JavaScript. We'll leave that without comment. Tim on Staten Island, 50 years from now.
Hi. I think I'm actually starting about 10, 15 years from now, but then continuing on. I think that starting with the boomers as they're aging and then continuing on to subsequent people reaching 65, we're going to wind up in internment camps and sort of transported to menial jobs because very few of us will have the means to afford a real retirement.
Ouch. Martin in Chelsea, 50 years from now?
Yes. Hi, Brian. I think that we're going to see a combination of human beings and electronic technology. People will be fitted out at an early age with all of the computerized nanotechnology that is being developed right now, and they will be human, but with a substantial addition of mixture of biological, electronic, digital equipment right in their bodies. They won't need robots as much.
Martin, thank you very much. And that's all we have time for other than to get a last quick comment from Matt Novak, who writes about how people in the past saw the future in his column Paleo Future on Gizmodo. Matt, those actually had kind of a theme, as summed up by Martin and Chelsea there at the end, the continuing interplay between humanity and machines.
Yeah, and I think that has been. Yeah, even, you know, when you look back at Asimov's predictions from 50 years ago, I think it's been a dominant theme and it will continue to be a dominant theme. You know, this emergence of robotics and humanoid robots and sort of how we, comfortable or uncomfortable, interact with those beings.
Thanks so much for doing this with us for 2 days.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC.